Good morning. Take your Bible and turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against a brother, go to law before the unjust, and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world should be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Now, the emphasis of the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, has been to deal with specific problems, and chapters 1 through 4 dealt with divisions in the church. Chapters 5, 6, and 7 will deal with immorality within the church. Chapter 5 was dealing with the matter of church discipline in the case of one particular individual who was extremely offensive with the flaunting of his immorality. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and it goes on. Now, when we get to chapter 5, we have a tendency, I think, to take the word morality, and it's almost an occult term. Morality in the sense of, well, does that mean somebody is being promiscuous or not? Is somebody involved in something that's illicit or not? Now, morality having to do with commonly accepted standards of morality, things of that sort, you deal with immorality, you're talking about something that goes against the grain of established set of moral behavior patterns. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Here was the situation, and you see it all too often today. Here are two Christians who've got a problem, and there needs to be a third party introduced here to settle the thing. Now, biblically, if you have something against another Christian, you're supposed to go to them and work it out so that there's no friction, there's no division between you. And it goes beyond that. If you know that your brother or another Christian has something against you, you go to them and straighten it out. So that actually, between these two individuals, they ought to meet somewhere in the middle. If you have offended me, I have a responsibility and go to you and try to get things worked out. If you know that you have offended me, or somebody says, you know, he's upset with you, then you have an obligation biblically to come to me and say, let's work this out. So that the responsibility for reconciliation falls on both parties equally. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law against, the idea is against one another, before the unjust and not before the saints. The point is that the Christians, the church, congregation, ought to be capable of deciding what needs to be done in a particular situation. Well, now that feller's cow, he got into my garden and just ruined all my sweet corn. And he's yelling at me and telling me I should have fixed the fence. Now, that's not right. Now, and you have things that go on, and okay, what needs to be fixed? What needs to be done to fix the situation? Obviously, if you've got two Christians that are upset with one another, you have a break in fellowship, that's going to affect the spiritual condition of the whole congregation. Now, people may try to ignore, well, you know, that's just silly. But no, it is a spiritual organism. It is a living thing. It is not something that you can ignore differences and problems between folks in the congregation. It will spread. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You saw that back in chapter 5, in verse 6. Now, he says here, you don't go to a civil court, Christian against Christian. There needs to be some redress. There needs to be something figured out. Now, we're not talking here about a criminal offense, okay? We're talking about something that is it's offensive to one party or the other. There may be some monetary, but we're not talking about, okay, here's a man who has raped somebody, and let's let the church handle it. That was a crime. And that is something that the state steps in on, and rightfully so. Government was ordained by God to deal with things like this. And in that situation, we're not talking here about the church kind of hushing everything up. You know, we don't want to air our dirty laundry. Well, my friend, in the church, in the Christian life, there ought not to be any dirty laundry to hide. It needs to be kept clean. Now, he says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law again before the unjust and not before the saints. I think this raises a question here that in principle covers much more than just simply civil suits, or liable suits and things of that sort, liability problems. Too many times Christians will get to arguing with one another in front of unsaved people. Now, Christian, don't let that happen. It is one of the most foolish things that you can allow the devil to blindside you in to get you involved in. Because as Christian argues with Christian in front of a non-Christian, that fellow who is not saved, that woman, that individual who is not saved, will look at you and be turned off by anything you say to them later about their need of Christ. You've made a mockery of it. You've allowed the devil to get mileage out of it. It's amazing to me how much mileage, how much use the devil gets out of ignorant Christians anyway. Now, hey, you know you said, and this happens on the job. You don't go to my church. My church is the only true church. Da, 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 and they get into a free-for-all. And everybody else who's not saved says, yeah, look at them. They're real good Christians, aren't they? And the cause of Christ is mocked. Now, that's on a today's basis. That happens now. Don't let that happen. Don't let yourself get involved in one of these public shouting matches in front of unsaved people. Now, here you get the idea, and he sets it forth here in verse 1, that Christians ought to be able to decide what's the right thing to do. You'll notice he says in verse 2, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Now, what he's speaking here of is something that you may not be aware of. In the book of Revelation, we went through this 3 or 4 years ago. During the millennium, Christians, the scripture talks about in several places, about Christians ruling and reigning with Christ. And during the millennium, that will be the case. We will rule with him in that sense of judging the world. Do you not know that the saints shall, that is future tense, we got no business trying it now, shall judge the world? And if the world should be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? If you're going to be in a position of authority at some point in the future over the affairs of men during the millennium, don't you think you ought to have enough sense and demonstrate enough sense to be able to come up with a proper solution when there's a problem between Christians now? The idea of being a peacemaker, the idea of being a sounding board, the idea of pushing people toward doing the right thing. I don't know how many times well-meaning Christian, unfortunately it happens often with Christian women, somebody will be upset and say, what's wrong? And they'll be sworn to secrets. Now look, I'll tell you, but now you can't tell the preacher, or you can't tell so-and-so, you can't tell the deacon, and they get sworn to secrecy, and this person then opens up and spills their guts, and all in the world it would take would be for somebody to do something biblical, like the Bible says in church discipline, and go and get the thing straight. But you see, you get yourself caught in the middle between two people. One of them's upset, and the other might not even know they're upset or what they're upset about. Now, in both cases, if one knows somebody is upset with them, but they don't know why, they've got an obligation to find out why so they can clarify the situation, get it straightened up. If a person doesn't know that somebody's angry with them, then whoever is offended with them has a responsibility to talk to them. But too many times Christians, in trying to perform the role of a peacemaker, will get in the middle of it, and instead of saying, look, you need to go talk to them, oh, I couldn't do that. Well, they've got to do it, or they're being disobedient to the Scripture. Well, no, it's not my problem. He needs to come to me. That is not a biblical statement. It is a manifestation of a spirit that is controlled by the flesh. Now he says, know ye not, in verse 3, know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? Now, here is something that I've often wondered. You know, here, over the last few years, there's been such an emphasis on angels. Now look, angels have their place in the Scripture. They are messengers, and that's what the word angel means, one who is sent by God for some spiritual objective. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? For all the hoop-de-doo about angels, everybody was talking about angels instead of focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's improper, it's imbalanced, and it misses the point. They are created beings like you are a created being. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? If that's the case, how much more, isn't it reasonable that you ought to be able to deal with things that pertain to this life? In verse 4, if then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. We're not talking about dragging the pastor in on. We're not talking about getting the deacons in. Any Christian ought to, if he's growing, ought to be able to discern things to the point of being able to settle a problem between Christians. Them that are esteemed least, or least esteemed in the church. These are not the great old warriors of the congregation. These are just John Doe pew warmer. They ought to be able to deal with this. I speak, verse 5, I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. Now notice, we have allowed the world and pseudo-Christianity to do such a number on the average Christian. The idea of judging is just, oh my, we can't do that. You know, Christians aren't supposed to judge. No, 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 no. Wait a minute. Is this not exactly what Paul is talking about? No, not one shall be able to judge between his brethren. Now, keep in mind this idea of judging. Five words in the Greek language. The one that is used here, as we've pointed out in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, in John chapter 7, verse 24, the Lord expects Christians to judge. Not in the sense of passing a sentence that belongs to a judge, or in the biblical sense, to God. That's not your place. But to judge in the sense of this word in the Greek, to evaluate the evidence and come to a proper conclusion. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren, to listen to the complaint and be able to say, all right, now this is what needs to be done. You need to do this, and brother, you need to do that, and then get this thing patched up. Well, my time's gone for today. I hope you'll find some practical application for what we're dealing with here. The more people know about the Word of God, the fewer problems they need to have in the church. Join me tomorrow for the next edition of The Bible Says.